9 minutes after the hour of 6 p.m. My guests are here and really excited about this one because, as we mentioned, we're talking about transformative enterprises. And today we're trying to get a sense of what does that mean as a well-diversified transformative enterprise, especially in today's business environment. What does that mean? I know it's a lot of big words, but my guests are here to just dissect them a little bit so that we understand them. Plus 27 734 703 520. That's a number that you can use if you do want, of course, to get involved in our conversation today. I've got Pete Kane, and Pete Kane is the fellow of the Association of Chartered Certified Accountants, which is a global body of professional accountants. So I'm not done. Please bear with me, right? That's the first part, of course. A global body of professional accountants, like I said, the Zambia Institute of Chartered Accountants and the Chartered Institute of Customer Management. Now, she holds a Bachelor of Accountancy degree from the University of Zambia and a Master's degree in Business Administration from Cavendish University. Now, Pete Kane's career in accounting spans well over 39. Were you born? Yes, and 39 years ago. Her career goes as far as 39 years ago, and she is presently the Director of Finance at Lusaka Trust Hospital and has a passion for financial management. And she also has a keen interest in motivating others to create wealth for mission. Now, Pete Kane is currently the Director of Finance of Adventist Layman Services and Industries at the SIT. I was actually listening to your presentation earlier on today. I was not here, but I was like, yeah, tuned in. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, thank you.
Ah,
how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time. And my other guest who is joining me as well this evening, it is Elder Luxon Zembe. As mentioned, he is the chairman of CBZ Holdings Limited. Now, Luxon is a highly experienced business management consultant. Yeah, askagai gute, guys. We are still here. Right. So please, like I said, bear with me. I'm very excited about this kind of conversation. So please bear with me as I do that. Of course, he's a, like I said, highly experienced business management consultant who has consulted for many reputable private, public and non-governmental organizations locally and regionally over the last 30 years. Yeah, Zanello wasn't born 30 years ago. His corporate journey has taken him through practical executive experience in manufacturing, mining, financial and commercial sectors of the economy. Now, this includes, of course, serving on the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Advisory Board and Monetary Policy Committees, as well as holding executive positions at Standard Chartered Bank. Now, Luxon is a respected and experienced corporate strategist and currently is a senior consultant, mentor and trainer for the Zimbabwe Institute of Directors. His corporate leadership, moral compass and integrity has stood the test of time and making him, of course, adequately positioned to provide strategic leadership in the company. He, of course, holds an MBA degree from Henley Business School. He's also a Chartered Fellow of the Chartered Institute of Personal Development. He's a Fellow of the Institute of Directors, Fellow of the Zimbabwe Institute of Management, amongst other qualifications as well. And of course, he is the Elder at the Newlands SDA Church in Harare. He's the Founder of the National, Founder National President of the ASI in Zimbabwe. He's a former board member of Solusi University and a former executive committee member of Zimbabwe Union Conference. My Elder, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you today?
Feeling good.
Feeling good indeed. Thank you so much. How was the day?
It has been very good.
Yeah.
Enriching.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
What a blessed day.
What a blessed day indeed. Thank you so much as well for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time. Now, we are talking transformative enterprises. So I want to start with you, ma'am. What is your own definition of a transformative or a transformed enterprise?
Thank you so much for that question.
Yes.
When you look at transformative enterprise,
yeah,
we look at the two words.
Yes.
It's transformative.
Yeah.
Transformative basically means a complete change in the way you are looking at things.
Okay.
So when you combine it with enterprise, of course, yeah, enterprise is business.
Yeah.
So this convention is all about how we are going to change the way we look at enterprise, how we do business.
Yeah.
It will not be business that we were doing 10 years ago.
Yes,
We are in a changing world, so we should transform in the way that we are dealing with businesses.
Okay, that's interesting. So when you say complete change, you mean a complete overhaul of how businesses operate. Are you saying there's not a bit of what happened 10 years ago that we can take with us?
Well, business is business.
Yeah.
When you talk of transformative enterprise,
how
we transform, it's the way we are going to look at it.
Ah.
We are going to still do the same business.
Yeah.
But even as we're doing that business, the impact should be different from the way we were. A few years ago. Business will remain business.
Business is business is business is business, basically. My elder, transformative enterprise from your own point of view.
I think, thanks. To add on to what my sister said, there is the what part of it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And the how part of it.
Yeah.
Which she covered.
Yeah.
And for the what part of it, we're talking about enterprise that transforms people.
Yeah.
Changes lives. That changes societies.
Yeah.
That takes us to a different, to a higher level. In terms of our standard of living.
Okay.
In terms of transforming societies and, you know, showing the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
To people.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what we're also talking about.
Yeah. So I want to just sit on that, showing the goodness of the Lord, because often at times business, goodness of the Lord, people might think, these are two extreme things. You never hear business people or professionals talking about God. And you are saying, well, we need to bring in God in this particular element of a transformative enterprise.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
Let me just talk about the last presentation that we've had.
Yeah.
Bridging the Gap Foundation.
Yeah.
Which has invested over 10 million US dollars in projects that address the needs of society, the needs of the disadvantaged members of society, from livelihoods to education, health, you know, to various areas of their lives that they need.
Mm.
That's what we are talking about.
Mm.
And this is the goodness of the Lord,
where
we, as God's agents, as God's stewards, for whatever blessings God has given us, we are supposed to, you know, pass on those blessings to other, to the need
people
within our various communities.
Yeah.
And this is actually one of the definitions which we're talking about, transformative enterprise. Mm. Are we businesses? Are we business people? Or do we do business in a manner that transforms people's lives in our various societies.
Yeah.
So that came out very strong and exciting to me. You know, the other one that was presented by, you know, Elder Mugari, you know, of you know, where it's talking about the educational process and how they've gone out into societies and worked with the disadvantaged societies to try and transform their way of thinking.
Yeah.
Where people always think, oh, we are poor. There is nothing we can do. You know, what can we do? And they just become objects, you know, of pity.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And we're saying, no, we need to change that mindset.
Yeah.
But to change that mindset is to help them realize that you are a child of God, created in His image, and blessed. It's a discovery journey, leading them to discover themselves and say, hang on. We are all blessed. I am blessed. And what is it that I can do using the resources that they may have in their communities?
Yes.
Like the, you know, beekeeping project, which Elder was sharing with the community in there, where now they provide them with resources, capacitate them, empower them to now use the local resources to transform their lives and make them really, you know, champions in areas which God, the talents that God has blessed them, which oftentimes, as I say, we don't realize. We've not yet discovered ourselves. So it's a discovery journey. And as business people, it's how best can we assist people to go on this exciting discovery journey where individual societies, communities can realize, hang on.
Yeah.
After all, we can do much better.
Yeah.
We have not. We are not poor in terms of thinking.
Mm.
We are not poor in terms of, you know, talents or blessings, because we've all been blessed. How best How do we discover these blessings, these talents, and how do we use them to actually live a much better life and the way the Lord would like to see us?
Yeah.
And that's why the Lord says in Jeremiah, the thoughts I have for you.
Yeah.
Is that you may prosper, not to harm you.
Yeah.
The source of good life, that we may prosper indeed. Yeah. And this is why I say in Deuteronomy, I would like you to bless you and so that you may not be the tails, but the heads.
Mm.
And that even the world can actually benefit and be blessed from the fruits of Oiga. And I always, say, yes, each and every one of us are like a fruit tree.
Mm.
And we can be a fruit.
Yeah.
Provided we're anchored in the Lord.
Okay.
And also from a belief point of view.
Yeah.
And that I've been blessed.
Mm.
And the Lord has put something in me that if I use it wisely as a good steward, I will be okay and I'll live a good life and I will be a blessing to those around me.
Mm. I want you to think about this one because I want to bring in Mem here, based on what you are saying, to say, why is it that we've got this poverty mentality? So what causes that and the role that people who are business people and professionals can play? So think about that because I want to come back to that one based on what you're saying. But I want to bring in just on that point, Mem, to say, in the boards that you guys sit in, why is the element of Christ, the Jesus, not missing? Is it that we who are business people in the Adventist Church, when we go out there, we don't really bring Christ to the boards and the meetings that we sit in? We speak all these nice big words, but there's an element of Christ that we are missing, which is also, I think, what my elder is also trying to bring in there.
Thank you so much for that question. But before I answer this particular one, just to dispel the myth that you cannot mix Christianity and business.
Yeah.
If you look at the Bible,
you
find a whole lot of businessmen in the Bible.
Yeah.
God himself put this business mentality in a human being.
Yes.
Because even when he created a human being in the Garden of Eden, he asked them to have dominion over whatever he had created, and they had to till the land.
Yes.
And mind you, that assignment was given to them even before sin came in.
Yes.
So that is business itself.
Yeah.
So you cannot remove business from God.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, you cannot run away from being a business. You cannot run away from creating wealth.
Yeah.
You must create wealth. We have the Jobs in the Bible who had a lot of wealth.
Mm.
And like the elder said, this wealth is given to us by God himself.
Yeah.
And it's not for us.
Yeah.
We are just a channel through which
instruments.
People should be blessed.
Yes.
So wealth comes to Christians so that they also bless others, like we have seen in the presentations that have been given. Now the question of how is it that as Christians we don't take Christ in the
board meetings and stuff? Yeah.
I think things are changing.
Okay.
I do know of. I sit on two boards.
Yes.
And we have resolved in those two boards. Well, I sit in about four boards.
Okay.
But in the two boards, we have resolved that we'll start by praying
before
we even start the board
meeting. Okay.
Okay. Of course, the first board, we are doing that. In the second board,
there's some resistance here and there.
But the good thing is the message has been given to the board that we should put Christ first. But whether we start with a prayer in a board meeting or we don't, the way we conduct ourselves in these board meetings should show that we are people who believe.
Yeah.
We are Christians.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things happen in boards.
Mm.
And as a Christian, you must show your integrity, your honestness, your work. Because, you know, there are people who sit on these boards just for the sake of the allowances.
Yeah.
Like it was given in one of the presentations that you find a board member hasn't even gone through the board pack. As a Christian,
you can't do that.
I don't do that.
Yes.
I make sure that I go through every paper of the board. And people even get surprised because I'm able to pick certain things that are not quite right in the board park because I have gone through the board park.
Yeah.
And right now, most of the board meetings I sit, they make sure that they understand everything they have put in the park because they will have a question coming from me. And they should give me honest answers.
Yes.
So even if we haven't prayed, we still have to conduct these board meetings in a manner that show that we are believers, we are Christians.
Yeah.
And our characters should show that.
Yeah. I want to come back to the both of you, but towards the end of the show to say, how do you guys find time to be, you know, all these sports and all that? But I'm going to come back to that one. The poverty mentality, Mel.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah.
Before I talk, I want to just build on to what my sister said.
Yeah.
I've been the chairman of World Vision.
Yes.
A Christian organization.
Yeah.
NGO organization.
Yeah.
And I like their fundamental philosophy.
Okay.
We are Christian. That's the first value.
Yes.
We are a Christian organization.
Sure.
And before you start your board meeting, you start with devotion and prayer. Mm. And that's important. Okay. And coming to the business world.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I've sat on the boards as well as you said.
Yeah.
We've got different people from different positions.
Yeah.
Other boards, we start with prayers.
Yes.
Others, it may not be appropriate for other people, depending on our backgrounds.
Mm.
But it's how we then conduct ourselves in the process and the messages, especially as we say, and we always give and say, give thanks, be blessed, praise be to God.
Mm.
Those messages, right, they may seem obvious, but they begin already to minister to people. But let me come back to the poverty mentality.
Yeah.
Poverty, which is the first, actually, of the 17 sustainable development goals by the United Nations.
Yes.
All the world has said, goal number one is for us to eradicate poverty in this world. But coming back to, you know, third world and Africa as such, and ourselves as people, is it's unfortunate that we have been schooled to believe that Africa is poor.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you look at statistically, in terms of resources, Africa, in fact, is the richest continent in terms of resources.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you then say, wait a minute. How can a continent endowed with the richest natural resources be classified as a poor continent? Where is the problem? In that, when all other nations are rushing
to come here
to colonize Africa, to exploit resources in Africa, and to get to enrich themselves from the resources that we have, so why are we poor? Right? Okay. And this is where I think our way we have been schooled, and obviously from colonial, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And they would always remind us. I mean, I was chairman of the Culture Fund in Zimbabwe, where all donors put money for the support of Culture Fund, et cetera, and all that. And I used to have this very interesting, exciting discussions with colleagues from all over the world. If you are saying, what is your culture? Right? You find that it has been put in us to say our culture is Velange Bechu. Our culture is a heart made of pole and dagga. Right? And if we are representing our culture, and the culture means the way of people's lives, right? What we come to believe, that's us, that's who we are. And I used to say to everybody in this discourse, tell me any nation in this world, any tribe, race, that did not pass through the age, the Stone Age, that did not pass through the stage of where they would put Velange Bechu. Even if you go, in fact, if you go to the Bible, when Adam and Eve sinned, what were they given? Skins.
Yes.
Velange Bechu.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where everybody, and even if you go to history itself and science itself, has said human beings originated from Africa. Okay? So you then say, wait a minute. Why is it that we are then associated with the Stone Age, with the backward. And we've accepted that as a people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
To say this is who we are.
Mm.
We don't associate. We are always told, look back where you are coming from, rather than look forward where you are going.
Yes.
And we've accepted to be told, no, look back. But hang on. Isn't it where all nations are coming
Everyone
from?
Everyone is coming from
Everyone
there.
Everyone coming from there. So why do you...
Yeah.
And why do you don't say, this is part of our history.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the history of all other nations. Yeah. But when you talk about culture, we then begin to say, at this point in time, at a given point in time, what is our accepted way of life?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we don't... We are always reminded and we don't associate ourselves with development.
Mm.
And another one, very interesting, when in my, you know, discourse and conversations with people, if you do anything wrong, if you come to to work, you're told, this is African.
If
you come on time, this is European.
Yes.
This is Western style. You're educated. This is educated. Come on, wait a minute. Wait a minute, my brother.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Even when you are called for, you have set an appointment, they'll ask you, is it African
time? Yes. I mean,
sure.
And that's what we need to, say no. We must break that.
Yes.
Is a genius say, no, this is not who we are.
Yes.
This is not African.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and begin to associate with the development and ourselves and good things and good standards.
I love that.
It's important. Yeah. So we are, in fact, to a large extent, our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In this process. Let me even take it further.
Mm.
In my, you know, working with all these various organizations, our governments, because of this poverty mentality, when they are going to look for money overseas, they go to the worst part of our countries, get shorts, films out of that, and take it to go and beg, right, for money and resources all over the world and say, look at how we are suffering, right? I've traveled all over the world. There's no country without poor people.
Yes.
There's no country without sharks.
Yes.
But America will never project its backyard.
Yeah.
Never. They won't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But we are, that's what we actually go up in front and as the leaders and say, please give us money, we are suffering.
Mm.
So we are our own worst enemies.
Mm.
Besides, we blame those other people who say whatever it is. But it's us who are promoting that and which we are saying we need to change that mindset, that value system, that schooling that has led us to believe and then make us think that we are poor.
Mm.
And we are not poor.
Yeah.
And I refuse to be called a poor African because I'm not poor.
Yeah.
And I refuse anybody who says Africa is poor, I say it's not poor.
Yeah.
Be it in terms of resources, be in terms of, you know, thinking ideas, it is not.
It is
This is where civilization started.
Yeah.
Hang on. What happened along the way?
Yeah.
We need to ask in serious engagement what happened
along the way. Yeah.
And how do we break from that
which
has happened, which has taken us back,
which
makes us then believe and educate our kids and be able to say. And then lastly, right, to just train each other and say, how do we use our own resources that we have to transform our lives?
Mm.
This is the transformative enterprise that we can transform our lives.
Mm.
We can change, you know, the way the world and the world perceives us by just getting together and saying, let's do it.
Mm.
Education-wise, I like, for instance, in Zimbabwe, the new education, which they call 5.0.
Yeah.
Which is not new, in fact.
Mm.
Because at independence, our education system had two channels.
Mm.
Okay, when you got after seven years of primary, right, and then 2 years of secondary.
Mm.
After 2 years of secondary, you had, there were two, you know, routes.
Mm.
Either you go the academic,
or
you go the vocational.
Vocational,
Right.
Yeah.
But at that time, we said this was cruel. Right? And we collapsed everything and we said everybody should follow
the academic. Yeah.
Even somebody who is technically gifted but not gifted in academic.
Yeah.
What's the impact of that?
Yeah.
This child who is technically gifted, not academic, but put him technically in that super, excellent.
Yeah.
But you push him through the academic route and you condemn them.
Frustrating them.
You frustrate and you condemn. Mm. Not only frustrate, but you condemn them as a failure.
Mm.
Meanwhile, it's our system.
It's our system.
That has taken him that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, because you've condemned him and made them a failure, and you're going to say, that's a poor person, right? So this is, that's why I like now the new, we've rediscovered the old way to say, hang on, right? Our education should be practical, should be realistic, you know, and should teach you to say, no, we do have that capacity and they are different. There are others who are, you know, these are talents that we've been given. Mm. There are others who are technically gifted. Mm. There are others who are academically gifted. Mm. Let's open up and broaden the channels through which we can develop our human being people.
Yeah.
And that way it will begin now to change the mindset of our people and begin to show that I'm a former high school science teacher. That was my first career before I went into industry, finance and everything. Yeah. And I've always said to the students that I used to teach, there's nobody who's called a dull child.
Never.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's we are just showing our ignorance on the little understanding we have of that child when we call them, you are a dull child because he has failed. He can't pass mathematics. Okay. You condemn them. Yeah. Right? Meanwhile, this child can be an excellent motor mechanic. Yeah. Right? But because you can't pass mathematics, you call them dull, poor, you can't even proceed with your education until you know how to do mathematics.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to decode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, in our DNA, we've been schooled that way.
Yeah.
And that's how we can attack this poverty mentality that we have.
Yeah.
And lastly, in terms of the poverty mentality, as I said, okay, fine. It's very important that we as parents, as adults, and as business people, it's our responsibility now that we've been, you know, God has given us this light and understanding to then take it upon ourselves to work with our youngsters coming up.
Yes.
And they need to see it in us
that
Africans are not poor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That's the challenge that we all have as parents, as leaders, and everything. Let's do things that will make children realize, wow, after all, Africans were not poor, right? And we can also be a successful business people.
Yes.
We can lead and we can compete with the rest of the world, with any other nationalities, at an equal platform, right? Because
pound
we're all created equal human beings, and we've got equal opportunities. And that's the challenge. And that's why we would like transformative enterprise that's one of its objectives, to address those issues, right, in a manner that is practical, deliverable, because the kids learn by seeing what is happening around them.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to see,
business
people, parents, and everyone doing, so that then we can break that mindset and cycle of poverty mentality.
Love that. I was actually, when we started the show, we were covering how the president of the African Development Bank was actually saying the media needs to reshape how they actually show Africa, because Africa is thriving, you know, contrary to what people may be seeing and all that. But let's get into the practical, I suppose, technical aspects of a transformative enterprise. What are those elements? Yesterday when we spoke to Elder Munsami and Mutazale, we were talking about ESG, you know, those type of things. What are those practical one-for-one elements that maybe form part of your conversations, even in the boards that you sit in?
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Indeed, like the elder said, for Africa to develop, we need a whole change management system to change the way we look at things. We should also change the way we classify wealth.
Okay.
You know, we think being wealthy is living in a home where you have a nice electricity, social amenities.
Yeah.
We forget to say that you could actually be wealth when you have a whole head of animals. Mm. That is wealth.
Mm.
And if you have land, that is wealth.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you need to know how to use the assets that you have to generate income. Mm. And if we have a mindset change to look at what we have, because assets, like the elder said, we have. How are we going to make sure that those assets that we have will start generating income for us?
Yeah.
Then we are going to be wealthy.
Yeah.
And then we should also look at the idea of thinking that for me to be well-to-do, I must have a formal job. And we even cry to our governments to say that there's a lot of unemployment. Yes. The government is not creating jobs. But these, there are jobs that we can create for ourselves. Because the government cannot afford to employ everybody.
Yes, that's true.
So we need to see what it is that we can do to earn a living, create wealth for ourselves. The way we operate in our organization, ESG, you know that times have changed. We have climate change. The things that we used to do before, we can no longer do them now because things are changing. The climate is changing. If you look at Zambia, the southern part of Zambia, people were involved in farming and they were creating wealth like that, depending on the seasonal rains. And you know, they no longer come. So we need to look at what it is that we are going to do, given the changes that are happening, the climate changes, the governance issues, social responsibilities that we have. We need to look at all those as companies to see what it is that we can change. How do we change the way we do business? If it's farming, we can no longer
farm the same way.
Depend on on the rains. Can we go into irrigation? We should not depend on maize that we grow in the rain season. Can we go into winter maize? How are we going to make sure that we don't continue to ruin our environment in the manner that we are working, the kind of businesses that we are working? You know, there are businesses that are actually contributing to the climate change that we have, making it difficult for us to progress, to develop. So we should look at how, what is it that we are doing, even in companies, to make sure that we mitigate the climate control, climate changes that we have right now. So as companies, we have a lot of work that we need to do, to analyze and see what it is that we can do. How do we change the businesses that we are doing now so that we continue to develop?
You spoke about SDGs, and I think what Mem is touching on here is also very important around the environment as well. And you mentioned something, Mem, change management systems there. In other words, this the way we operate and run businesses because of climate change and such challenges that are emanating from the world that we live in, kind of changes the way the environment actually looks. How do we instill this change management in business?
Okay, I'll come to that.
Yeah.
When she was speaking, I was reminded, one of the churches in Zimbabwe, out in a rural area in Buhera, Manicaland, called me and invited me, "Elder, come to our church." Now 30 years, it's still at window level. 30 years.
Sure.
Okay. And sadly to say, that's the general profile of most of our churches in terms of it. And here was a community in the rural areas believing that they are poor. Right? And that's why church is taking like 30 years. Fortunately, by God's providence, when they called me, it was just after harvest. So as I was driving, going down to the church, observed that there'd been a good harvest that particular year. So when we got to church, came the time, because to them they were calling me to donate so that they could complete the church, because they are poor. That's how they believed, and they perceived themselves. So when I got there, I said, "Okay, fine, thanks. How many people have got here in the church, families that have got 10 cattle and above, half of the church? How many of you harvested at least 30 bags from your fields, the whole church? How many of you have got 20 goats in their depends the whole church. So I then said,
how?
Are you
where's
poor?
Poverty?
Yeah, good question. Where's exactly. poverty there?
Exactly. Where is the poverty you're talking about?
Mm.
Right? The issue is our relationship with our God. And these things here that have become idols in our Christian relationship with God.
Mm.
Let's open our Bible.
Mm.
Whose things are these? Who do they bring? Are these blessings? Who gave you?
Mm.
Right? Yeah, he says all the cattle on the, you know, thousand hills are mine and everything. And after all, God is not after cattle and everything and jeans and whatever things that we're talking about and the dollars and cents that we're talking about.
Mm.
God is about building our character for heaven.
Mm.
It's the stewardship, the faithfulness that he's looking for.
Yeah.
He's not looking for dollars.
Yeah.
It's his.
Yeah.
He has got it. He's not poor. It's, everything is his.
Yes.
So he then said, I said, do we worship the same God?
Mm.
Because we seem to have two different gods here. Your God, whom you have been trying to save for the last, and you have been harvesting, and you've got all this, and then I have got a different God.
Yeah.
So let's first of all agree.
Mm.
Right. When I went there, they expected me to donate to complete their church. After the service, I said, when we had gone through this whole process I'm talking about, and just changing their mindset to realize that they are not poor and that this church they can build.
Yeah.
After 6 months, my brother, Tabelo, they finished the church.
Really?
Without anybody coming to assist them.
Sure.
Breaking that cycle, that mentality. But let's come back to ESG.
Yeah.
The world that we're living in now, and the various changes that are coming through, and which feeds in even into the Sustainable Development Goals.
Yeah.
Climate change, I think, is number 13.
Yeah.
You know, and the poverty and a lot of all these other various issues. That, okay, as businesses, as the world that we're even with the changes, number one, we have got fundamental, what we call strategic issues that the board and businesses have to deal with.
Yeah.
Number one, the issue of sustainability. Right. How are we going to make sure that our businesses are going to continue operating for the unforeseeable future?
Mm.
That's number one.
Mm.
Number two, we used to think all you need is profits. Unfortunately, not no longer anymore.
Yes.
Number two, the risk issues. To say, what are the risks, threats to the sustainability and continued viability, continued provision of jobs and services to the community?
Mm.
We've got certain risks that we're facing. The climate change, for instance, that we're talking about, which is major now throughout the world. No country is spared.
Mm.
And this is why it's become ESG has become a global issue.
Mm.
And number three, okay, fundamentally in terms of how the business, we used to look at it, we used to say, yes, the main objective of a business is to raise profits for the shareholders.
Mm.
That has changed.
Mm. Mm.
Right?
Mm.
We now talk about stakeholders, not shareholders.
Yes, that's very true.
Right?
Very true.
Shareholders are just
one of the stakeholders.
One of the stakeholders.
Yeah.
Right. And this is why we talk about the three P's in governance, good governance. Number one, people.
Yes.
Number two, planet.
Yep.
Number three,
profits. Yep.
In that order.
Yeah.
First, people. We must look after people first. How do we look after people?
Mm-hmm.
Right, with what is happening. And that's the social responsibility.
Yes.
And number two, the planet that we live in.
Yeah.
That now takes about everything that we live in.
Yeah.
And we see now from the disasters, the climatic changes, the weather patterns that are coming in through the pests, back to prophecy.
Mm.
When you see all these things happen, just know the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
But we are still here on earth. Whilst we are still here, on earth, we need to deal with these issues in order to ensure that life continues.
Mm.
Just make sure that the organizations continue to exist because they are the ones that provide employment, sustainability, that provides goods and services to the people. So how best do we then mitigate these challenges, headwinds that we now face today in today's world? This is the birth of now ESG.
Yeah.
That's why the fundamental is sustainability.
Yeah.
How do we create sustainability?
Yeah.
We must then focus
on
the environment.
Yeah.
that we live in,
yeah,
and all aspects and facets of the yeah. environment
yeah.
in itself,
yeah,
just like creation,
yeah,
God put Adam and Eve
yeah.
to look after
hmm.
the Garden of Eden.
Mm.
So we're back mm. to creation.
Yes.
These things are reminding us back yeah. to that mandate
yeah.
that we're given.
Yeah.
Created, look after this environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And that's basically what is happening in the world with regard to the environment side of it.
Yeah.
And it also calls on each and everyone. My heart pains me when I move around, you know, residential areas
mm.
and I see people throwing garbage, whatever, outside their gates and everything and all that, you know, plastics, whatever. When they're moving and driving, we're throwing things out through the windows and everything and polluting the environment. So each and every one of us now has to realize
mm.
the impact of our behavior
mm.
yeah,
mm.
and how important environment is.
Mm.
The social, my sister has talked about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That deals with the people. The social yeah. deals with the people.
Yeah.
Right? That people are important. Right? And we need, whatever we do,
yeah.
we are there as stewards
mm.
and people come first.
Mm.
Right? And yeah. that is what has changed now,
yeah.
the way we look at it. And this is why the social corporate responsibility
yeah.
issue is taking center stage
yeah.
in organization.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
To look after the people,
yeah.
to make sure that we address the challenges that people are facing,
mm.
because those are that's your market,
mm.
and that's where the sustainability from a business mm. point of view.
Mm.
If you don't look after people, you have no market,
mm.
right?
Mm.
And you have no business tomorrow,
yeah.
right? So if
yeah.
you want your business to sustain tomorrow, look after the people,
yeah.
and that's your market. When if you look after people, if they are well and they're doing well and they're not sick and everything, you've got healthy workers, you've mm. got healthy people,
mm.
and your business is
mm. right.
And then lastly, the governance mm. aspect of
yes.
it, which
yes.
then deals now with the ethics,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
around all this.
Yeah.
The what our stewardship responsibilities
mm.
to people and to the environment
mm.
around us.
Mm.
How do we look after it?
Mm.
What is our stewardship responsibility mm. to ensure that whatever we have been entrusted with,
mm.
right, firstly mm. by God,
mm.
and secondly by even the shareholders,
mm.
and the community, for any business to operate in a community, we operate at the pleasure.
Yeah.
Right? And the
yeah.
goodwill
yeah.
of the community.
Yeah.
Because communities can say, out.
Mm.
We don't want you anymore.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this is why we must look after that.
Yes.
And this is why now our governance system mm. must ensure that, number one, we are ethical
mm.
in whatever we do and
mm.
deals with issues of corruption, issues of honesty,
mm.
issues of stewardship,
mm.
right, in everything that mm. we do as part of our governance mm. processes. And then also looking at policies to deal with then the social responsibility as well as looking after the environment. I mean, I'm now the chairman of CBZ Holdings,
yeah.
financial institution, the largest yeah. financial institution in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look at today's Business Times,
mm.
they've got an article in there saying CBZ leading on ESG.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Look at today's
really
Business
beautiful.
Times. Right? It's there.
That's
CBZ
really beautiful.
In my picture is there.
Yeah.
They put it there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, fine. But we've taken that responsibility.
Yes.
To say, yes, I know, like America now,
mm.
there's a backlash on ESG.
Mm.
Where businesses are saying, no, it's eating too much in our profits.
Mm.
It takes a lot of money to try and address these things. So they're trying to push back,
mm.
but they're not going to win the war
mm.
in terms of pushing back that.
Mm.
And we need to take that responsibility. And we are saying, even here, right, let's show the leadership.
Yeah.
Right. And that's
yeah.
why with CBZ that I'm currently chairing mm. now, where we've said that's going to be one of our major, you know, strategic
intentional.
I'm going to be very intentional
yeah.
about it
yeah.
as we do business to yeah. the extent of when people are coming with their business proposals
yeah.
for funding.
Ah.
We are now going to say,
that's interesting.
Tell us.
Yes.
How does your project?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We have got, for instance, we call it this artisanal mining.
Yeah.
Chikorokoza.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be asking them.
Yeah.
Because they've messed up environment
yes.
big time all over. Wherever all the countries they've been.
Yeah.
Right? Now rivers are polluted with cyanide, mercury, and whatever it is. and which is leading to spikes in cancer, right, you know, across our countries because of what these people are doing. So we are saying as a bank, we will not fund you.
Yes.
We will not provide unless you with funding show. Unless your business is going to look after people, look after the environment.
Yeah.
No mistake about it.
Yeah,
and that's what we need. We must be intentional, deliberate about it.
Yeah,
and that's the only way we can be able to serve the world and ourselves.
It's only good business, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's how it, that's how it should be. And unless there's an element of being intentional about it, I don't suspect that anyone else would do it. There's an element, my elder and mem as well, around how do we even start calculating the environmental damage? We talk of, you know, credits that people are starting to put together and all that. Are you also looking into that bit as well?
Just to add on on the ESG, and you know, we are Christians.
Yeah.
If you look at what they are doing, evaluating proposals that come using ESG, that is Christian because it promotes good living for everybody.
Mm.
And that is our responsibility, to make sure that everybody is honest in whatever they are doing. You know that there's a lot of dishonesty in these companies.
Mm.
They don't care where they throw their refuse, polluting the water that somebody else is drinking.
Yeah.
And in the final analysis, damaging the land that cannot now grow any food because they are only interested in what money they are making from their business.
Profit.
So that is very, very unchristian.
Mm.
So ESG requirements actually
are Christian.
Are Christian values, Christian values to see how we can show our characters as Christian, godly people.
Yeah.
So
I never saw it like that. That's really mind-boggling there. Yeah.
That's very true. And the one which you touched on terms of the zero, net zero.
Yes.
The goal, of, 2050.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That we should go on to net zero in terms of carbon emissions.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's key. It's one of the goals that have been agreed.
Yeah.
And now, as you can see, we've got electric cars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And there are countries that, I think, in Africa, is it Ethiopia?
Hmm.
Between Ethiopia and Uganda, I might miss it, but one of those, they've already said by 2035, no car imports into their countries which are not electric.
Yeah.
So they are phasing out all these diesel petrol cars.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy because of the investment that these people who run, oil companies, they've done.
Mm.
So they're going to put a lot of fight. It's not going to come easy.
Mm.
But it's important to be intentional and deliberate and to be responsible in a business about it.
Mm.
And this is where it is now coming through.
Mm.
To say, yes, I mean, planes, I still remember I was a you know, board member for Air Zimbabwe some time back when Europe banned our aircraft.
Mm.
And said they're making too much noise.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm.
That and part of the environmental issue, say, no, it's affecting people's health. And people are saying, your things are making too much noise. We don't want them here.
Yeah.
Go and feed them with hush kits.
Yeah.
You know, so as to reduce the noise.
Yeah.
You know, not just the emissions from, but even the noise issue. It's becoming to take a major issue, a center issue in the process as we work through. So, yes, these carbon, you know, credits that are coming in through that, that's now a strategy that has been agreed to say how best do we incentivize and promote, you know, good behavior, you know, new technology, green technology, you know, where we, instead of, you know, dealing with coal, you know, thermal power stations, which pollute the environment, you know, and if you ask, in fact, before I leave that. Where does the word Soweto come from?
Okay, that's interesting.
It's South
Western Townships.
Western Townships.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Across Africa.
Sure.
Why? When the colonizers came here, they know the movement of winds.
Mm.
Yeah? They blow south westerly winds.
Oh.
They are south westerly winds. Wake up at 4 a.m. and you see the cloud.
Sure.
The fog thick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That will be over southwestern townships.
Yes.
That's what people are breathing.
Sure.
And look into the east, and they would make sure industry is in between.
Mm.
They are on that side where the wind is coming from.
Mm.
Put industries in between and put the blacks townships.
Folks and everything that side.
Mark, anyway, we don't want to go much into that. But those are issues in terms of carbon emissions and their impact on health, mental health, physical health, diseases.
Mm.
And this is why now I'm happy that at least the world has now converged and say, this is evil.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
Yeah.
Let's now come up with new technology that can really change that technology, which we have. And I know it's a battle, it's a fight, even in America.
Yeah.
That's why there is a war between the Republicans and the Democrats. You know, where the Republicans are saying, no, but these thermal power stations, coal fields and everything, their jobs and everything.
Mm.
The Democrats are saying, no, but hang on.
Mm.
Look, let's look at the health effect.
Yeah.
Mm.
You come to Zimbabwe, for instance, in South Africa, I know as well, in African countries, you know, Zimbabwe, one of our major leading exports is tobacco.
Mm.
Right? As a country and government, we're still proud and putting resources into tobacco.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But we've said, hang on, look at how the whole world is saying tobacco, no. UK is already passing a law, right, debating a law to completely ban tobacco. But we still stick to it. So, and this way,
of course, it's a major source of income.
Yeah.
Irresponsible leaders.
Yeah.
The dollar is more important than human life.
Sure.
We have a challenge. We have a problem. This is where we need responsible leadership now to be able to say, hang on, can we continue funding tobacco?
Yeah.
Right? Go to Zimbabwe, and it's the same with all African countries. We've decimated all forests, right? The environment, curing tobacco, right?
Mm.
And contributed to desertification, deforestation, right? Climatic change because of our behavior.
Mm.
Partly major. We are our own worst enemies as human beings, and how we have, you know, destroyed the environment, what God created, and, you know, in God's wisdom and knowing the relationship, symbiotic relationship between environment and people.
Yeah.
Trees, you know, they release oxygen. You know, we take in oxygen, they release carbon dioxide, the trees take in carbon dioxide. So there's a symbiotic relationship between people, animals, and the environment.
Yeah.
And we've destroyed all that. So that's what we call responsible leadership. And those are the challenges. And this is why now this net zero, on carbon emissions and also the calculations now that are being done now, which needs to be worked on, you know, by various companies in various areas and countries, to incentivize that transition, that change, you know, so that people can then, you know, change industries, companies can change, technology can change, so as to reduce these carbon emissions, which are deadly and very impactful on people and human life in general. And that's where we expect now, especially Christian businesses, where we have got to now say, hang on. Right? Okay. What should we do? How should we do? How am I contributing? What is it I'm doing? Right? Am I just going to say, as long as I'm making money? Well, there are a lot of Seventh-day Adventists who are involved in artisanal mining all over our region. Right? And who are using, you know, mercury, cyanide to process their gold in rivers, which people are drinking.
Sure, polluting.
Which, for cattle, for lives in the water. Yeah. Somebody is drinking water down the line, is washing with that water, is cleaning with that water. And I've said in Zimbabwe government, no wonder why right now the spike for cancer is like a 90 degree. Because of that. But because people are benefiting out of it, they don't want to change.
Yeah.
tobacco because we are saying, no, it's one of our major exports, right? But we've said, let's do calculation and see how many people are being killed.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Lives being lost.
Yeah.
And what's the value of those lives?
Yeah.
Besides all other effects of tobacco.
Yeah.
And it takes now responsible leadership to be able to say, good as it is, and though we are benefiting out of the money that is coming through, but when you then do a cost-benefit analysis in terms of human life that we are losing, how much you are spending on medication, health, dealing with effects of tobacco on human lives, on health, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which we have got for the sake of the few dollars that we need.
Yeah.
We need responsible and decisive action to be able to be made. Painful, but very deliberate, intentional, and that's what leadership is there.
Yeah.
To make those hard decisions in order to turn around.
Yeah.
And that's where the transformative
enterprise comes in. I love that. And my view is that I think we as Africa stand at the forefront of actually defining what those carbon credits and the weightings should look like. But it seems like we are just taking the back seat and waiting for the world to define that for us. But that's another conversation, I suppose. I want to come to then, as we draw towards the close, to say there are people who are arguing that the West, for example, and businesses from that side and governments from cannot force us to transform how we do business, because they also benefited from the first industrialization through carbon, through the kind of fossil fuels that we are using, like coal and all that. Do you think that it's a fair argument to say, wait, we need to also get to that level first, but that means we need to go through these fossil fuels as well, coal for us to generate electricity, for example, and all that? Is that an unfair expectation of Africa?
I think Africa should look at what is good for Africa.
Yeah.
You have a neighbor who has gone through a storm.
Yeah.
And they have come out damaged.
Yeah.
And you think because they did that, they shouldn't ask me not to go through this. I think that is a learning process for us.
Yeah.
Let's look at what they have gone through and what it has come to.
Yes.
So let's look at the end. No, like we were talking about, let's be long-term in nature.
Yeah. Futuristic.
Yeah, let's be futuristic. Let's not just look at what it is that we are going to benefit now, because we think if we followed the way they went through, we would be living better lives now.
Yeah.
But it is at the expense of the future generation.
Yeah.
It means the future generation are going to suffer.
Yeah.
So this is a learning process for us. We haven't gone through that. So we shouldn't follow that path. Can we look at an alternative way so that we don't end up there?
Yeah.
So as Africa, I think we should come out and see for ourselves what it is that we can do to help. Like the elders said, let's have governments that are going to regulate the way we do business so that we don't have all these wastes being disposed anyhow. There's a lot of investment that would be required. Like talking of electric cars coming in, we need to bite the bullet and see where it takes us. So let's not follow where we know that we are going to end up in a worse off position. Yeah.
Do you think we are ready though?
I think we just need a mind change.
Mm.
Maybe that's where we should invest in. How do we change the mindset for us Africans so that we look at what is good for us and we follow that path? It needs a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And I think we should come to a stage where we are prepared to sacrifice and to work hard for the future.
Exactly. No pain.
No gain.
No gain.
Yeah.
it's very important.
Yes.
And it will be fools and stupid to repeat the same mistakes
that they did.
That they did.
Yeah.
At our own peril.
Yeah.
It's just an idiot fool that does that.
Yeah.
We should learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And avoid that.
Yes.
In life.
Yeah.
That's what anybody, when you are living, that don't repeat mistakes of other people.
Yes.
You'll just be a fool when you can see those. So we are ready.
Yes.
Because we said we've got resources.
Yes.
Right? we've got abundance of resources, yeah, which we can then leverage and,
yeah,
use,
yeah,
to be able to now get on a good path and, yeah, a better path,
yeah,
that protects human life,
yes,
with ESG,
yes,
right? Okay, where we become better stewards,
mm,
you know,
mm,
you know, of people and God's creation.
Mm.
So we are ready. I know in business it's a big topic, it's a, yes, big issue,
yeah,
where our leaders will say, no, 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 okay, fine, don't tell us to stop,
yes,
you know, using fossil fuels,
yes,
because you guys, you went through it and you developed, yes, your industry.
Yeah.
But hang on, hang on. There's new technology.
Yes. There's new ways.
There's new way of doing,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And we're able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
yeah,
and what then if you go around the world,
mm,
some of the bright, you know, scientists,
mm,
innovators,
mm,
creators,
mm,
around the world,
mm,
are against.
Mm.
Right? And I'm saying, why don't we harness that talent here,
mm,
to develop solutions,
mm,
better solutions,
mm,
you know, that will take us into the future,
yeah,
as a better people,
yeah,
than be fighting to say, no, okay. And in fact, my own tech and analysis, mm, and dealing with this,
mm,
it just corrupt people,
mm,
who just want
corrupt people,
you know, to benefit out of,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
at the expense of everybody else,
yeah,
who go and give that argument, oh yeah, 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 we need to go, no, you can't force us to do,
yeah,
that because of that, no, right, okay, fine, we have to move away from that, and we, mm, show the leadership we are able, we are,
yeah,
capable of doing so,
yeah.
In fact, they are even worse off because we haven't invested much,
mm,
in what, mm, they invested,
yes,
right,
yes.
So we are even better off,
yeah,
and with our resources, if, yeah, we leverage them well,
yeah,
okay, we're able to, you know, leapfrog,
yes,
and actually move into the future,
yeah,
a better future,
yeah,
for our people,
yeah,
than us, for us to continue, you know,
yeah,
working on those,
yeah.
So that's, I think, and that mindset must be in each and every one of us,
mm,
to say, be the future,
mm,
be the agent, the change agent,
mm,
starting with yourself,
yes,
for the future that we would like,
yeah,
to see.
Yeah.
Each and every one of,
yeah,
us. And then collectively when we do that, then Africa will be transformed.
Sure. I love that. I want your final thoughts, because what I'm hearing from here is that Africa is ready. Africa can. We need to transform. It's an imperative. It's not something that we can run away from. But we need a change in mindset, in business, in individuals who are Africans, business people, professionals. All of us need to change our mindset. Final thoughts. Let's start with you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. As Africans, mm, let's look at what we want Africa to be like in 50 years.
Sure.
And that is how we should plan what we are doing right now.
What a challenge, yeah.
If there are any changes that we need to do right, mm, now to have a better Africa 50, mm, years from now,
mm,
that is what we should do.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of work,
yes,
a lot of hard work,
yes,
a lot of sacrifice,
yes,
but we must do it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't expect anybody else,
yeah,
to do it for us.
Yeah.
Africans must work for Africa.
Sure, that's a challenge. You know, I think because the biggest thing is we think for now, and that's what we've been saying.
Exactly.
That we think for now, we're not thinking the future.
Short-termism,
and you made a very important point, Mayal, to say we are not as embogged in what they got embogged in for them to get to be where they are. So we can literally leapfrog from where we are to actually the future. We just need to change our minds.
Exactly.
Your final thoughts.
And why do we want to still be called backward?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
third world.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, number one, we should be masters of our destiny.
Mm.
That's important.
Yeah.
Number two, and believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
Have confidence in ourselves.
Yeah.
And that we are endowed with the same five brains.
Yes.
You know, that God gave,
yes,
to everybody else.
Yes.
And I like Obama's mantra.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
We can.
Mm. Yes, we can. Lovely, lovely, lovely. If you've just joined us, welcome to the show. That's how we come to an end of our discussion today. We're delving deeper into transformative enterprises, looking beyond just the profits, thinking a little bit into the future and 50 years from now, what type of Africa do you want to have? What type of transformative businesses do we actually want to run? Thank you so much, ma'am. And thank you so much to you too as well. Really, really
thank
appreciate
you.
Your
thank
time
you
and may God
you.
Bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Thank you.